Welcome to the Round 21 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, man.
And we've got special guest Faz joining us again this week.
G'day, guys. Great to be back on the show.
Hey, Faz.
It's been a while since we've had you on, Faz.
It has been, I think. Good sort of five or six rounds. I think it was around the bye time, maybe even.
Yeah.
Was last on the show.
Yeah. I was going to say byes, but I was like, maybe that's too long ago. But we had the byes pretty late, so I think you're right. It would be interesting to hear how you've gone since then, Faz. This week, we're going to look a little bit at the Pendlebury situation, some trade-in options, some rookies, and a look at the finals run home again. So quite a general show as it was last week. But before we crack on into our show, we'll start with a personal update as we do each week. So Faz, why don't you start us off this round?
Absolutely, mate. This week I was a little bit off the pace, got a 23-38, which in years gone by I would have been chuffed with, but seems like this year people are just pumping out some awesome scores. So I think my rank sort of stayed about where it was, which is currently 16,679. So a fair way out, but I haven't actually looked. I don't think it'd be too many points off sort of a more respectable ranking. I think it's probably fairly bunched when you get to that sort of ranking. And I've sort of just been hovering between the 15 to 20,000 mark the last 4 weeks and not really making up much ground, unfortunately. It might be because I've been quite conservative with my trades. Still got three to go, and I've been playing some subpar players on field, I'll say. The Caden Brands and Kerridge, these guys that just are not scoring very well. And so the three trades left, I'll be keen to get your guys' advice on what I should be doing with them at this point in the season.
It's a bit unfortunate you haven't broken that 10k, Faz, but it's all right, you still got a few weeks to do it. Hopefully those three trades serve you well. Mark, why don't you go next? How'd you go on the weekend?
Pretty shattered that Martin was not playing again, because I only really had one potential trade and option, and that was Mumford, and I could have just brought him in the week before and got his 116 extra points. Ended up bringing in Mummy, and he put a 123 on debut. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. Held back a little bit by Bartel's 60, not having someone like Cade Simpson, having to play Petrarca over Deledio Hall, Buddy's injury, and only scoring 60 also held me back a little bit, and Danger Captain, 99. Look, there was a few factors that just meant that I scored an okay score, 23-58, and basically held my ranking. I went down 50 spots. And I guess that the big one was missing Maxi Gawn. It's painful to watch the games at the moment.
He was the one big reason that my score was saved. So Gawn as vice captain, as I highlighted in last week's captain segment, I hope Gawn owners were listening. He absolutely crushed it, 168. That was awesome. And then Dangerfield backed it up with a fairly disappointing captaincy with a 99 for a lot of people. So that really helped out the cause for my team as well.
Can you stop smiling when you say that? I can hear it in your voice.
I scored 23.80 for the round, so I only beat you by a little bit, Mark. And considering I had Gawn as the vice-captain, the team probably underperformed a little bit. So Bartel 60, which you had, Shaw 58, Gray 53, Franklin 60, and Motlop, the inspired trade-in. Absolutely inspired. Wingard scores 64. So I was like, all right, I'll put Petrarca on the bench, who scores 63. Trade in Motlop, who can't best either of them and scores the same as 63. It's heartbreaking. That F6 position just didn't want to budge above 64 for me on that weekend, unfortunately. I dropped five spots to 746th. So I was hoping that Motlop would deliver 100. That probably would have been a small increase, and I would have broken that 2400 barrier and kind of just let me down a bit there. Motlop, you've got 3 weeks to redeem yourself, mate.
Yeah, it's going to come down to the wire without your rankings, mate. 3 weeks to go. It's sitting pretty tight.
We'll move on to a group update before we get onto the show. The top score in our group was 2,554, and that was Hans Schumi, 2K16. That pushed him up to 676th, so he raced past the both of us, Mark. Well done to you, Han. All right, on to injury and suspension questions now. We'll start off with David Siddle's question about Pendle's replacements. Do you guys know what the story is on Scott Pendlebury's injury?
I saw Nathan Buckley on AFL 360. He was saying that they were early signs where they were pretty worried, thought he might be out for a bit longer, but he seemed fairly confident that it wasn't too much to worry about. So I would be expecting him to play this week. Maybe if they're conservative, it might be just the 1 week that he's missing.
He does seem to get up most weeks when there's a bit of injury cloud or doubt around him. I don't know, he has had ankle injury problems in the past that he's actually kept playing through. My gut says that he'll probably miss this week, which puts a very interesting trade dilemma up for people.
I think if Pendlebury just misses 1 week, though, I mean, if you've got cover, surely you don't trade in that situation.
I just think that, I mean, people going into finals, like must-win finals this week, if your main goal is the leagues, then I think there's going to be a bunch of people that probably will trade out Pendles.
Collingwood do have Hawthorn in round 23, so that could be a consideration too. If you're a league player and Pendlebury misses this week and you play Hawthorn in the grand final, that might be another nail in the coffin. If we're looking to actually replace Scotty Pendlebury, those of us in the position to do so, who would the top candidates be? And we've talked about midfielders a little bit over the last few shows, so we won't go through with a fine tooth comb, but just anyone who pops out at you.
Yeah, I got two, mate. If you've got a little bit of cash, JPK has just been in insane form recently. I know he only scored 95 on the weekend, but the Swans do still have a good draw coming up, and his form over the last sort of 8 to 10 weeks has been just awesome. It's been like competition leading. And the other player that's hit a bit of form in the last few weeks is Paddy Cripps, with 137, 118 and 124 in the last 3 weeks, and they have Brisbane, Melbourne and Essendon in the last three rounds. And I think Gibbs has also been in pretty good form in the last few weeks, but Gibbs did get shut down from Robinson last time they played. So you'd want to know who Robinson's going to go through this week, and if you can get the right guess there, then one of those Carlton boys looks like a pretty good pick.
Faz, anybody jump out at you, mate?
I find this process quite difficult, trying to pick who I think is going to be the best scorer over the final 3 weeks, because at the start of the year, we're weighing up the options of guys, and we've got 22 games to look at, and one poor score isn't going to really matter over the course of a whole season. But a guy that I was looking at quite closely last week was Joel Selwood, and you know, you'd think coming up against Essendon, he should get a good score, and he goes out and scores, what was it, 82? So yeah.
88. Definitely noticed
that. Yeah, and he was doing quite well in the first half as well. He just completely faded.
Yeah, and I just find that sort of could be the killer, that a guy that you pick might just have a down game here or there, and with only three games, there's no space to sort of redeem themselves. But having said all of that, the guy that I'll put out there is Dan Hannabury. I know he's probably in a lot of teams already, but he's priced quite cheaply at the moment at $509,000. So you make a bit of cash from Pendles down to him, which could be handy for one of your final trades if you've still got any left. And the last 2 weeks have been great, 144 and 136 after a couple of down weeks. I think he should power out the season. I think Sydney are just going to smash a few more opponents on their run to the finals.
Yep, if I had to nominate someone you guys missed out on, it'd be Sloane, even though I don't have him.
Yeah, I think he's the obvious one.
Yeah, and he's fairly clearly the form midfielder at the moment. He's moved into Brownlow sort of contention amongst the trackers. And if you look at his price movements, the 83 he scored in round 18 is just cycling out now. So that keeps him at a relatively affordable 555. Like, you actually, you know, get 20K out of the trade from Pendlebury, 141 and 137 in his last 2 weeks. Frio, Port and West Coast, his last three opponents. So that's a pretty good finals run home as well. We'll move on to the next question. This one's from Brenton Stancombe. Is Dalhouse the bargain of this year at the moment?
He hasn't set the world on fire in his first two games back. I know that his role is going to have to be reasonably big because the Bulldogs have got quite a few injuries. But they've got some pretty big games. They don't have a really easy draw. Look, I think that if you are in the market for a really cheap mid-forward, then he is definitely your guy. There's some doubts over what he's going to be able to produce over the final 3 weeks, though.
Over the final 3 weeks, opponents are Collingwood, Essendon and Frio. And Essendon and Frio as sort of the last two finals game, if you're a league player, is definitely a fairly tempting proposition, considering he's a 388K pretty much top six forward. It seems like a fairly no-brainer pick. I've got three trades. I don't have really any injuries to deal with this week except for maybe Pendlebury. I'm thinking I might even bring Dalhouse in to cover Pendlebury for 1 week. I mean, you can side swap from Petrarca, basically, rather than trade Pendlebury out.
Yep, that makes sense.
I probably look at the easy run maybe just a little bit more cynically. I think that maybe they'll use that as an opportunity not to probably rest him for a whole game, given he's missed quite a bit of footy this year, but maybe they'll put him some extra bench rotations in the second half and things, and just tell him not to go too hard and just save himself for what will be some more important games coming up in the finals.
Or like Geelong did with Danger on the weekend and just played him at full forward for almost a half, just sort of resting players within games.
Absolutely.
They are hit pretty hard by injury, though, so I think that's another sort of positive in that he probably gets more midfield opportunity when Libber, Wallace, there's a few guys who are out.
That's true. Their midfield is starting to get their depth tested.
Out this weekend as well. Just that price point is just having me look at the positives so much more than the negatives.
Yeah, very close to the bargain of the year. It'd be within the top three or four bargains this year.
So, Mark, will you be trading in Dalhouse with two trades to go?
That seems very unlikely.
Faz, three trades?
Probably save them for donuts rather than doing upgrades at this point.
All right, so I'm clearly getting sucked in. I'm looking at trading him in at the moment.
This seems like exactly the sort of trade that you make every year and then regret it.
I always feel like you're putting this in so that when I do it, you can say, ha ha, I told you so. All right, we'll move on to the next question. This one's from Charles Gibbs, or at Average Chaz on Twitter. Full primo team, but he's got some underperformers left, Wines and Gibson. He has 250k in bank, though, and five trades left. Should he still hold with only three rounds to go, or actually, you know, finally commit to trying to improve this team?
Go for it, son. Especially, I know Wines has improved a little bit lately, but he's probably the one that I'd pick. I know Gibson had some down games, but he's also had some really big games lately as well. So, yeah, I think there's no point holding that much money in that many trades at this point in the season.
Faz?
Great. I wish I had that many trades and that much money. I'd be going all out. That sounds like a great situation to be in, and I'd be pulling the gun on the trades.
If you're a league player, I'd be tempted to do only one trade and spend the 250k this week, because that's basically an upgrade. If you trade something like Petrarca, you can almost get a premium midfielder. You might be able to even just trade in a premium mid and leave Wines on the bench, building your bench cover, and then the next 2 weeks still have two trades each. Like, this is the ultimate luxury, Charles, so enjoy it. Hopefully you can put that money to good use. Next question is from Mark Schwartz. Should he upgrade Gibson again, but he only has three trades left? So what's sort of the magic mark that you'd be looking at to doing these sort of luxury trades?
I think that really with three rounds left, you'd want to have at least five trades to be doing that. I think that Faz's approach of saving trades for donuts is the way to go. Like, I can understand people potentially in your spot, Marcus, bringing in someone like a Dalhouse just because he has that upside. But Gibson scored 117 3 weeks ago, tracked pretty decently before that. He's definitely very up and down, but the fact that he's had two down games might mean that he's got some more up games coming. I think that you're really fraught with danger trading someone like Gibson, who could just put in three big weeks in the final three rounds.
What if I change Gibson into Kerridge?
Or Brody Smith?
Yeah.
With three trades?
Yeah.
Look, Kerridge to Dalhouse seems to make sense, but I mean, then again, like, if he's pushing someone to the bench or you're just loopholing in that spot, I don't really see the value in doing that.
I am in this situation with Kerridge to Dalhouse as being an option, so it's a little bit more tempting. I think with Josh Gibson, the fact that it's more than $100,000 to get to either of the two Carlton boys that are really seem to be the standout defenders.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I think you're looking at another spiky player. Like, that seems to be the nature of backline players, is they have great games, they have poor games, and you know, you could pay money, go Josh Gibson to Alex Rance or something. Rance could have a bad game and Gibson scores his 120. So I really think at this point in the year, if you've held the trades this long, they're probably best going to be used for donuts. And you could get unlucky, we might just not have any donuts, but the amount of value that you get for the week where you wouldn't have had anybody on the field and get to bring in a premium, you know, that's, I don't want to say guaranteed 100 points because the premium might not fire, but it seems like it's going to be worth more than potentially a marginal increase for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think if a player's averaging, you know, around that 85 mark, you'd be more willing to trade them out if they're actually low variance players in this situation. If they're scoring 80 every week, you might try and trade in a player with higher variance that could spike and score 110 each week over the next 3 weeks. Whereas it's a high variance player like Gibson, absolutely, you'd be worried that when you trade him out, he then goes on and, you know, scores a 150 and then that boosts his 3 week average to 110. So I like that advice. All right, we'll move on to the rookies now. There are five rookies on the bubble this week, five last week and five this week. So plenty of rookies at this time of season, as some teams have copped a lot of injuries throughout the year. Zane Cordy from the Western Bulldogs is the first player to talk about. He's a backline player, 123,900, scored 59 and 41.
I think I prefer Heatherly from the Hawks, personally.
You reckon he'll play out the season, Mark?
I just think with Stratton getting injured that Heatherly is a decent chance of getting some more games, yeah.
To the midfield, where we've got a comparison between Adam Marcon for Richmond at 102,000 and Rupert Wills for Collingwood at 117,000. Marcon scored 54 and 75 in his two games, and Wills, he scored 85 and 108. So that's a pretty great start.
I haven't actually seen much of Collingwood play the last few weeks, so this is all just from reports of the games, but been playing through the midfield. Got 17 touches and 11 tackles in the first game against West Coast in the win, and in the loss against Richmond, it was 20 disposals, 8 tackles and a goal. I know Bucks was complaining about their ball use, and it looks like Wills is more a handballer than a kicker, so I think it was the kicking that Bucks was really concerned with. So I think Wills might be out of the firing line, at least for this week. Mature age recruit coming from Collingwood's VFL team. I can see Collingwood giving some more games to him at this point. The season's over, they're not making finals. There's a few guys out of the team, McCaffer and those guys that are doing all right in the VFL, but I think at this point in the year they just play youngsters, and even though Dugowie and some others are in the VFL at the moment, I think it's going to be somebody else that'll make way if Dugowie or Phillips or someone like that's coming back in the team. I see Wills playing out the year.
I was really surprised by how much midfield time he got on the weekend, especially once Pendles went down. They moved Adams to the halfback flank, and Wills was in like a good chunk of the centre bounces and was around the ball quite a lot. So that was quite good for his role, and yeah, it looks pretty decent going forward.
Archie Smith is available. He scored 96 last week with Martin out of the team. Continued with a decent run and scored 90 in his second game. So it could be a decent trade-in option, but prefer to bring in a cover in the midfield or backline just in case of injuries.
Yeah, I think Steph's listed as a test on the injury list this week, so expect him to be back. And his opposition in those two good scores was Jack Trengrove from Port Adelaide, and then the first game, Riley O'Brien from Adelaide. So I think he was able to pick up some hit outs that he might not have been able to get against a more seasoned ruckman.
Next player is Michael Aitness from Fremantle. He's a forward for 123,900. Played his first game a while back and scored a 23. That was in round 11. And he scored 65, returning to the team in the last round. Surely at this point in the season, they look to play Aitness.
I would definitely expect them to do that. They've picked him as potential key forward going into the future, and Pavlich replacement, so they might want to get as much game time into him as possible if he can stay fit, which he has had a fair bit of issues with in the past.
Top two out of these rookies, who would yours be, Mark?
I think probably Wills, just because of the scoring, and I'm not totally confident on any of the others, I guess.
Yeah, I think it comes a lot down to where your weaknesses are with your cover. So personally, I've got three non-playing midfielders at the moment, so Wills looks pretty great. And I could see Brisbane giving Smith some more games, even though Martin's back. I think the team's looking so shocking, you may as well give a guy who's at least put some effort in the last 2 weeks, give him another few games to the end of the year.
I agree with your point, Faz. You probably pick the rookie where you need the most cover. We'll move on to the finals run home now. We covered this last week. We'll cover this again until the end of the year. Basically, just looking at the teams with the best three games to go now. Again, looking at top eight teams who are more likely to win their games. Start with Sydney. They've got St Kilda, North and Richmond coming up. And Adelaide, they've got Frio, Port and West Coast. So they're both teams with only one top eight team left to play. The players that you'd be looking at are Parker, Kennedy, Hanbury. What's Franklin's injury status, Mark?
Not listed on the injury list at all, but apparently copped a knock to the knee on the weekend.
Maybe Franklin in the back line. I don't think you'd want to risk McVeigh, but with Adelaide, you got Rory Laird, Sloan, might even consider Walker, Jenkins, Betts type. You know, these guys that can punch you out a 150 type score.
Yeah, Adelaide showed on the weekend what they can do to poor teams, and with percentage being so important this year because so many teams are on the same amount of wins, I think Adelaide are going to continue smashing teams. So you want to have a forward who'll get on the end of that.
In terms of the best two runs home, we've got Geelong and Western Bulldogs at the top of the heap. Western Bulldogs have Collingwood, Essendon and Frio, as we already went through with Lukey Dalhouse. And then Geelong. You can look to my team if you're looking for inspiration.
Motlop,
Bartel, Selwood, Dangerfield.
Corey Enright, I think.
Yeah,
for Enright sure. Enright has been unbelievable the last few weeks.
Yeah, Corey Enright scored 149 on the weekend. That was absolutely massive.
I think he had like 25 in the first half, didn't he? 25 touches?
Yeah, absolutely insane. The best run out of those non-top eight teams would be Carlton with Brisbane, Melbourne and Essendon. So Doherty and Simpson still look really good.
Continue
and
to punish us for not having either of them in our team.
Yeah, Mark is Doherty now, so he's laughing. Captain's Corner is the segment we are going to use to round up this week's show. Faz, have you joined us for Captain's Corner before?
I don't think I have, and I should have been listening more intently. I heard your suggestion of Max Gawn last week. I have Max Gawn, but I didn't look at my team close enough and I left it on Pendlebury on the Friday night. So copped the injury and I thought I'll go safe. I'll stick with Danger and missed out on the glory of Max Gawn. So this week, my suggestion, original thinking, Max Gawn against Port Adelaide, because as I mentioned before, they don't have any ruckman and Max Gawn's a superstar. So
apparently Lobby has played a few games in the reserves and had 48 hit outs on the weekend.
Okay.
So I guess if you're ever going to bring him in, this might be the week to do it. I've never wanted someone to get injured so badly.
I'm going with the exact same thing, Faz. Gawn VC into C Dangerfield, just run it back.
There's also Sloan against Freo on Sunday as well. So you've got a plethora of choices available to you if somehow Mark's wishes come true and Gawn slips in the shower or something and doesn't play.
I don't think it'll be luck. It'll be Mark's voodoo doll that he's got stashed underneath his bed. He crawls under to poke at night.
It's covered in tears at the moment.
Mark, who are you going to go with for your VCC combo?
I think I'm thinking maybe like Rockliff seems like the obvious one just because he's got such a great upside. Plays against the Blues, but the Gabba, you'd think that he'd be reliable for 120, 130. And yeah, I think that's a pretty safe pick.
Into Danger?
Yeah, into Danger, mate. I know Danger only scored 99 on the weekend, but like I said, they played him in the forward pocket on the weekend, and for most of the first half, and Essendon were basically flooding back and trying to play keepings off Geelong, so it just wasn't conducive to Danger scoring, unfortunately, and the coach did us in.
I think the fact that you say only 99 sort of says it all. That's a bad score from Danger, so even then, I think he's worth the punt.
Yeah. All right, so with that wraps up our round 21 show. Hopefully those of you out there who are listening have been lucky enough to win your first week of finals and you're kicking it up fairly stress-free this week. If you are in a cutthroat final, all the best to you. Mark, do you have any messaging to round out the show?
Bad luck to my mate, Nate. Beat him by 16 on the weekend. Pretty happy about that. And I think I play you in a prelim or in a final somewhere along the line somewhere this weekend. I think I made all of my next rounds in my finals this week. So, yeah, like, finals are pretty interesting and pretty nerve-wracking on the weekend. It does make it a bit of fun.
Faz, anything to leave our listeners with?
Oh, just thanks, guys, for having me on again. Absolute pleasure, as always. And good luck to everybody for the last few weeks. It's getting to that point of the year where some strange things can happen with team sheets and you know, players just being put on ice for the rest of the year. So hopefully everyone out there dodges the bullets and we have a good finish off to the season as a community.
So for those of you who are Patreon subscribers, you will hear Faz's beautiful voice again, hopefully, for our season review show. That's a bonus episode that we're going to wrap up the season with and have a look back on things that we could have done better and things that we did well for season 2016. If not, this is the farewell show for Faz for season 2016. So I just want to say thanks for coming on throughout the season, mate. And it's been great to have you on again this year.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing everybody again next year.
Is Hurley staying, Faz?
I hope so. I don't know. He's such a jet. I couldn't deal with losing another one of our
All right, Faz players. Says yes. Good job.
So completely informed decision. Has nothing to do with emotion, but he's definitely staying.
Don't forget, you can hit us up on a Tuesday. I know it's getting close to the end of the year, but you can still hit us up on a Tuesday on Facebook and on Twitter. We're at SupercoachCoach. That's it for the week. All the best, and we'll catch you again next week. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.